It's pure conjecture, and in any event, it would be relevant to this particular application.
I'm going to sustain the objection on the basis that the aspect of the question relating to the property across the street is not a record within the direct examination of the witness.
Okay. That's my major question.
Mr. DiBiase?
Okay, I'm not as sophisticated as Mr. Klingmeyer is, but I do have some real-world experience, and I think everyone here has real-world experience.
Objection to Mr. DiBiase, real-world experience. We're here to ask questions, I believe.
Well, I'm trying to get to my question, I'm trying to frame it.
When you're cross-examining the witness,
you're
limited to a question and answer
with
the witness. So please make sure anything you say ends with a question mark, and you should be good.
All right. It seems like you did a lot of book data collection. Did you do any real-world data collection? And is your knowledge of that interchange, how well do you know that interchange?
That's about three questions there.
Well,
that's an objection to the form of the question.
Sustained. Let's go one question at a time with one question.
Okay. So did you do any crash data on I-84?
No.
Did you do any weather-related data in reference to crashes on 84?
No.
Did you do any analysis of Route 6 and crash data on Route 6?
I didn't do a crash data analysis. I did do an analysis of the operation of proposed access on Route 6.
See, this is where, my response is, we are seeing a rash of crashes on 84 and 6.
Again, we've got to look at the questions.
Again, so you assumed that the trucks would turn, would come from 84, and you said you assumed 100%. What is that based on? And is it? And can you guarantee that?
That's based on the prohibitions that exist.
Mm-hmm.
The applicant's intent of marketing this facility and the proximity and location of the facility and the prohibitions that are proposed on the conditional use plan of the driveway.
And who enforces those prohibitions?
That's up to the municipality and or the applicant.
And can you guarantee that those are going to be enforced?
No, I cannot.
Have you been here during the tourist season at that intersection from Buse Road on the weekends?
Not in an official capacity with this application, but I have been on Route 6 and I-84 in the tourist season.
And what have you observed?
I didn't have any issues proceeding through that interchange, personally.
Well, I have.
Objection.
The level of service, okay. Did you not say it was E in your former presentation?
This is my first presentation.
Weren't you wasn't he at the other one? Is this a new guy?
Question for you.
Okay. Well,
he was not a witness at
the traffic expert at the last thing said it was E.
I'm sorry, there was a lot of talking. I did not hear the question. Apologies.
The expert at the last planning commission said it was an E intersection instead of a C or a D.
I wasn't at that meeting. I can't speak to that.
Did you know that I got T-boned on Route 84 coming out from Bistro turning left, and I've been driving that for 30 years, and I got T-boned trying to cross over with a person coming down. Did you know that I got T-boned?
Actually, the move to strike.
Did you know that I got T-boned?
Please stop. Objection is sustained. We'll strike that testimony. We're supposed to keep this within the scope of his direct examination and not within your personal experience of police.
So you said at peak hour, AM peak hour, there were 76 vehicles. And at PM peak hour, there were 79. Is that right?
That's the projected vehicles into and out of this site.
Okay. So that's approximately 1.2 vehicles every minute. Is that correct?
Sounds about right, based on the math, yes.
So the last presentation, in the written thing, it said that would be a large truck every 3 minutes. Does that sound correct?
Based on the truck traffic projections for the PM peak hour, that's 13 truck trips. So that would be one every 4.5 minutes.
Okay.
Or so.
Well, I was close. Thank you. So, in that idea of the signage and making that hard to make a left turn, what happens when there's an emergency and a fire truck has to use that particular lane if the other lane is blocked? So, how does a fire truck, if that is restricted, like you said, as one of your recommendations, how does a fire truck get in and out?
Well, first of all, regular heavy vehicle prohibitions do not apply to emergency vehicles in terms of signage. Secondly, the physical restrictions that I recommend, as I stated in my testimony, there could be some physical constraint of the radius, but we have to make sure a emergency vehicle can enter safely.
How wise is it to have only one entrance and exit? If there was an obstruction on that particular road, if there was an emergency and there's no other way in or out, how come you only have one entrance and exit for emergency purposes? If there was a fire, or if there was an explosion, or if there was a natural disaster, or if there was an accident. What happens if that one entrance or exit is blocked? What do you do? Are those people just gonna die then?
Again, one question per question.
I know. I'm asking them. What about that one entrance in and out? How dangerous is that? And is it dangerous, and is that in your book?
I evaluated it based on vehicular traffic usage. It is not dangerous. One access can suffice for regular vehicular usage of that into and out of the site.
So you're going to do a scoping thing for PennDOT, correct?
I'm sorry, please repeat that. I apologize.
Oh, did you know that PennDOT agreed to hear our side of the story too, and we are going to be able to present information that you're not going to be presenting? Did you know that?
Objection. Move to strike. It's testimony.
Again, objection sustained. You're not permitted to testify. You're here to ask questions of the witness within the scope of what he was asked by his attorney.
So you said the weight limit on the Sawco Creek Bridge will prevent trucks from coming up Route 6. Who's enforcing that, and are you enforcing it?
I don't know who enforces it. Probably the municipality would enforce it typically.
Who's going to enforce it?
Typically, I said I don't know, but typically if the municipality police department.
And what municipality would that be?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's Milford Borough, because you wouldn't let them be a party to this. So.
If you want to testify, You should not have become a party. As a party, you're here to ask questions of the witness, present your own evidence, but you can't have the best of both worlds. So you either need to ask questions, or you need to stand up and then public comment, and we'll have that at a later date.
Well, I'm a party to this. I can ask questions.
You can ask questions, but you cannot continue to testify from the microphone. We need to keep this within scope.
I'm trying to get answers out of him.
You're testifying from the microphone. I need you to ask individual questions of the witness that were within his original testimony.
Oh, boy.
So in terms of the I-84 interchange, how aware are you of the deficiencies of that interchange?
I have not done a formal analysis of the interchange. I have just observed its operation. I have not done an analysis, so I cannot say if there's deficiencies or not.
So you do not know that when people come exit from 84 East and they take the exit, you don't know how difficult it is to stop at that stop sign and look to see if traffic is coming. You don't know about that.
Objection, move to strike.
Do you know about that?
Sir, okay.
Is that a question?
I'm gonna sustain the objection. We're gonna strike that. I'm giving you leash here, but we need you to stick within the scope of the examination. Limit your questions to what was asked of the witness originally, or else we're going to have to move along.
Okay.
I really prefer not to do that, so let's try really hard to keep you within the scope of the threat.
Then do you know the deficiencies of the exit from 84 East onto Route 6? Do you know that deficiency?
Objection. It assumes there are deficiencies.
Sustained.
Do you know what it's like coming off of 84 going west and turning left? Do you know anything about that particular intersection?
I have not studied the interchange in an official analysis. I have driven through the interchange and observed it in that respect.
So it's your opinion as a professional that putting, what did you say, 3 trucks per minute on 84, turning left off of Route 6, left to go towards the warehouse, that is sufficient, in your opinion?
Just so the record's clear, I had stated it was 1 truck every 4.5 minutes, not 3 trucks per minute, just so it's clear.
Okay.
I don't want there to be misrepresentation on the record.
Okay, so it's a truck every 4 minutes. So a truck every 4 minutes, taking that left turn off of 84. Is your professional opinion that that's okay?
My professional opinion is that that's under the purview of PennDOT, and if PennDOT determines that our impact is such that this applicant needs to contribute to or implement improvements at the interchange, they will be obligated to do so.
Who will be obligated?
The applicant.
The applicant.
If PennDOT determines so, yes.
And that's millions of dollars, isn't that not correct? That depends on millions of dollars, wouldn't it be?
It depends on what the improvement being asked of would be.
And where would that money come from?
Objection.
Sustained.
So, as the truck, 1 truck per 4 minutes coming off of Route 84, coming east, turning onto Route 6, it's your professional opinion that that's an okay thing?
Objection. That wasn't, he didn't express an opinion.
Sustained.
Well, how can I frame that?
Yes. We're gonna strike that. Do you have any other questions that within the scope of the direct examination, i.e. the questions he was asked and answered?
Okay. Question, can you explain the traffic signal not being needed again, just like briefly?
Yes, there's thresholds required based on volume in order to consider a signal. It wouldn't even mandate a signal if they met the threshold. But there's volume thresholds based on the combination of exiting traffic and the traffic on Route 6. And based on what we have studied, we don't believe this would get to those volume thresholds for consideration of a traffic study.
Are you basing that on manuals, or are you basing that on actual being there in person?
I'm basing it on traffic volumes for Route 6 provided by PennDOT and the projections for this site, which currently doesn't exist, so we have to use projections for the site traffic.
Are you aware that LBL submitted plans at the Pike County Council Economic Development Authority to build a second warehouse across the street on Buse Road?
Objection. Move to strike.
Sure. It's
sustained, and we will strike that. That's not within the witness's testimony.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything from the board?
Thank you. First, a point of clarification, Mr. Van Rubini. I believe you said that your experts' qualifications were page 143 in the book that you handed out today. I did see them in the electronic copy.
But it's page 43. If I said 143, that was a mistake. 40. It's page 43.
Okay. Thank you very much. Sir, you testified that with the terminology, the applicant's intent in marketing this facility. What did the applicant tell you was their intent in marketing the facility?
Only in the context of traffic distribution and traffic flow, what I was told was that the location of this facility has led them to expect and believe that the truck traffic would be oriented to the interchange. So that was part of my assumption as to the 100% truck traffic flow to and from the interchange.
Sir, are all of these, all warehouses the same in terms of their truck generation?
No.
This warehouse would qualify as what's considered a high cube warehouse, is that correct?
Not that I'm aware. No, I believe it's considered a traditional warehouse, and that's the category of IT that we use.
There are actually five different categories of high cube warehouses, and high cube warehouses would qualify based on the size of the facility being over 200,000 square feet, and the height of the facility being over 24 feet. And the traffic generation is very different based on the utilization of which of those five types of structures for the utilization of the site. Were you given any information as to the marketing of the site?
I'm going to just to protect the record, because she's quoting this from a source, and I don't know where she's getting the basis for that information.
Well, what I'm asking if your expert has been directed as to the utilization of the facility to what type of warehouse it would actually be. What would
I have
it
no
used for?
To that. It was the technical aspect of the question that I objected to. So I have no objection. The question is rephrased.
Thank you.
So there are different types of warehouses. Based on the information provided by the applicant, I'm of the understanding this is of a traditional warehouse type as defined in the ITE category Land Use Code 150. My experience tells me with regard to the parking provided on this site, the parking proposed falls in line with that categorization. If, for example, the parking proposed was 1,000 spaces, just to throw out a random number, and the applicant told me that there'd be 110 employees in a traditional warehouse, that would be a red flag to me, because the plan would not be congruent with that description. But the plan, the condition use plan, in my opinion, is congruent with the description of the warehouse as traditional warehouse. And that's the category we use for IT.
Thank you. Sir, in the plans that the applicant has submitted, the driveway appears to be utilized for more than just this facility. Was there any incorporation of trip ends from the other entities that would be using the driveway?
There was not. I was not aware of other entities using the driveway.
Thank you. Bear with me a second. Does the manuals or other materials that would be standard for you to use as an expert on this subject include information as to how many traffic accidents would be typical or standard for the volume of additional traffic?
Well, crash data is very unique. It is not based on volume. So typically in a traffic impact study, or traffic impact assessment in this case, where the objective is to determine the impact of the development on the conditions, the existing crash data is not factored into the impact of this development, because this development has a volume impact. Now, however, when it comes to designing the access driveway and whatever improvements may be required by PennDOT at the interchange or at this location or elsewhere, that's where crash data from the existing conditions would factor in at that point.
So when you indicated that the signalization was not required by PennDOT based on the trip ends, PennDOT would in fact incorporate crash information in that determination?
They could, yes.
Thank you. I think that the vast majority of the people who are present find significant doubt in the statements that you have in here as to traffic going down Route 6 and tractor trailers. The concept that you have on your page 3 indicating that the vertical and horizontal curves and the exit signage that you would require would prevent tractor-trailers from taking Route 6 is, I think, suspect for the majority of us who, in fact, are familiar with that road because we experience tractor-trailers there. So can you speak a little bit about how that dichotomy would play out if, in fact, that assumption that you made is incorrect?
Objection to the question. I believe it also incorporates testimony of the supervisor, who realized that she has experience, but I still don't think it makes it a proper question in this case.
Can you narrow the question?
If your assumption is incorrect, sir, as to the vertical and the S curves that you indicated are not indicative or appropriate for tractor-trailer traffic, does not result in the tractor-trailer traffic not taking Route 6, how would that play out?
Well, my study is based on the assumption that the prohibitions that exist, which I believe are merited, given in my statement about the curves, supports the prohibition, and the fact that the driveway will also be prohibited itself. I'm basing my analysis and my assumptions that truck traffic to and from this development will not be proceeding down that direction based on the existing prohibitions.
Would it be possible for trucks who are trying to take the shortest route to perhaps leave the site and make a left turn and then just make a U-turn up the road, potentially causing greater traffic issues if they're banned in the way that you described?
Objection. Hypothetically assumes people are going to break the law, and I don't believe that's any expert's is required to take into consideration that somebody may break the law.
I think the question would be rephrased in a way to avoid that concern.
Sure. I have a few questions. Route 6 is a federal highway that's maintained by Pentagon. And being a federal highway, I don't see how we can propose it to interstate commerce. Where we get the right to enforce it? Would Pentagon have to allow your 20-ton weight limit sign that you project to put at the exit?
Would they have to allow it? I think the fact that it is consistent with the prohibition on that roadway in that direction, and it's volunteered by the applicant to do so, I believe they would approve that signage.
But how would that stop somebody from utilizing a federal highway?
I can't speak to the enforcement of the restriction.
And I'll move on to my next question. 30-ton weight limit on the bridge that you say is a prohibition down below is slated to be either repaired or replaced. And at the time it's either repaired or replaced, they're going to up the weight limit on it again because it is an interstate road. And this has been handed down from PennDOT, but I don't know if it's going to be repaired or replaced. Well, it's going to be replaced in 2025.
Objection. I guess you could answer it in form of hypothetical.
So, you can say hypothetical. If it is replaced and the weight limit is up, there's nothing, no prohibition to stop the trucks from coming up that way.
There's still prohibitions on
209
and Route 6 and our. And
now 209 and Route 6.
I'm sorry. What I meant was there's still prohibitions at our driveway onto Route 6.
Where the hell?
I'm sorry?
I had to put it over the hill. I got one more question. The trip generations, I was just wondering, does that change with the hours of operation?
That is based on the peak hour of the facility itself, which we have assumed, in order to do a worst case analysis, that it would coincide with the adjacent street traffic peak. Often, it actually occurs prior to 7 in the morning and prior to 4 p.m. in the afternoon, but I did not make that assumption because we don't know that.
Right. But my question more was, does it make a difference if it's only two shifts or three shifts? Does that change that trip at all?
It wouldn't change how I project the traffic because we have to use the ITE national projections, which are not separated into two shift scenarios or three shift. But in reality, if it was three shifts, would it reduce the peak traffic peak of the highest shift? Very possible.
That's it.
I did want to ask, the traffic information that you obtained from PennDOT, do you know what was the relative time frame for the accounts that they utilized and that they provided to you?
That's an answer I can provide if I can go to my briefcase where I have my file. I only have my report, which doesn't include that one.
Please. Okay. Thank you. So the PennDOT data on Route 6 was from October of 2019, notably pre-pandemic, and that was, it was October 3rd, 2019 was the date of the data crunch. Was to be a traffic study required by PennDOT, would that require fresh traffic counts to be taken?
Well, it would be termed a traffic impact assessment. But to answer your question, it may. They may require that, and we would provide that if they do.
Is the applicant aware of the very large differences in traffic volumes in that area seasonally?
I'm aware of that.
Again, as a hypothetical, I don't know. But as a question, the way you framed it, I don't know. It assumes that those variances exist. They may well.
I would actually say she's asking if he's aware of answers to seasonal variations.
In the capacity of the study that I have done, I have not researched it. I am aware from my own personal experience that there is a tourist season in this area.
I asked a question earlier about crash data. Are you able to, or is there any manual that provides some anticipated information that the board could be made aware of as to anticipated crash changes based on the increase in the traffic?
Because crashes are not a function of volume, that information really isn't available. What is available would be crash data for this specific area based on PennDOT's database. We have not researched it. It is something that we may be required to by PennDOT when it comes to the design of the driveway. But the volume impact is not, would not be used to determine crash rate increases.
Thank you. I have nothing else.
Good evening, Mr. Horner. I just have a couple questions. Your assumption that there's going to be 100% truck traffic from I-84 to this location is based on the four bullet points you have on page 123, correct?
It is supported by those four points, yes.
And if you were, are you aware that there is no prohibition on U.S. Route 6 regarding truck traffic?
I'm aware. I'm aware the prohibitions are on 209. Yes, I am aware.
So bullet point one regarding the steep slopes between the segment and the site in town of Milford, that is one of your assumptions that you took into consideration.
Yes, in the fact that even though there's no prohibition, there is warning signage about truck 20 mile per hour speed limit and steep slopes. It supports the premise that it's not the most desirable route for tractor trailers, especially since it leads to a prohibition.
With respect to the design, of the current design of the access point, did you take into consideration during your report any stacking of vehicles trying to make a left turn from I-84 into the access site?
Yes.
And where is that pointed out in your report?
So beginning on page 136 of the exhibit, the impact statement exhibit, that's in the appendix of my report.
And is it true that the current left turn lane is 75 feet in length?
That's correct, yes.
And what is the length of one of the tractor trailers that would be anticipated to use this right-of-way?
Approximately 60 to 75 feet. Our recommendation, based on our analysis, is the left turn lane should be lengthened to 125 feet in length, subject, of course, to PennDOT's review and approval.
And since there isn't a turn signal anticipated, or a traffic signal anticipated for this site, what would the difficulty be if more than two trucks were stacked in that 125-foot lane you proposed?
Well, based on the analysis, it's a level of service B, as in Boyd. There would be gaps in traffic for those left turns to be made quite efficiently and quite safely. So the stacking that's shown in my report, in my analysis, is based on the availability of gaps. So it suggests 125-foot left turn lane would be appropriate.
And your recommendation of the 125-foot left turn lane is based upon available information now for stacking at that site?
Based on our projections and the available information that we analyzed, yes.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Any redirect?
No redirect.
Any recross?
No.
Anything else?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Is it a 24/7, 365 days a week operation?
That's outside of the direct exam. Anything else for this witness?
Nothing else for this witness at this time. Obviously, I deserve the right to call as a rebuttal witness after the parties have testified.
Yes, the court reporter, if you need a break.
I think we should might want to take a break here. 10 minutes. We'll recess for about 10 minutes.